She was bigger than Candy, maybe 5 years older, and had tried to lock her bay-colored hair in a stylish bun at the back of her head, but it kept stringing down around her broad, milk-fed cheekbones, and she looked like a cowgirl trying to pass herself off as a society lady. Her shoulders and breasts and hips were too wide and her grin too big and open for her ever to be called beautiful. But she was pretty and she was healthy and she had one long finger crooked in the ring of a gallon of red wine and it swung at her side like a purse.
How, Candy, how do these wild things happen to us?
She turned around once more and stopped with her bare feet spread, giggling.
These things don't happen, Harding said to the girl solemnly. These things are fantasies you lie awake at night dreaming up and then are afraid to tell your analyst. You're not really here. That wine isn't real. None of this exists. Now, let's go on from there.
Hello, Billy, Candy said.
Look at that stuff, Turkle said.
Candy straight-armed one of the bottles awkwardly toward Billy.
I brought you a present.
These things are Thorne's Smithian daydreams, Harding said.
Boy, the girl named Sandy said, what have we got ourselves into?
Shh, Scanlan said, and scowled around him.
You wake up those other bastards talking so loud.
What's the matter, Stingy?
Sandy giggled, starting to turn in her circle again.
You scared there's not enough to go around?
Sandy, I might have known you'd bring that damn cheap port.
Boy,
she stopped her turning to look up at me.
Dig this one, Candy. A Goliath. Fee-fi-fo-fum.
Mr. Turkle said, hot dog,
and locked the screen back, and Sandy said, boy, again. We were all in an awkward little cluster in the middle of the day room, shifting around one another, saying things just because nobody knew what else to do yet. Never been up against a situation like this. And I don't know when this excited, uneasy flurry of talk and giggling and shuffling around the day room would have stopped if that ward door hadn't rung with a key knocking it open down the hall, jarred everybody like a burglar alarm going off.
Oh, Lord God, Mr. Turkle said, clapping his hand on the top of his bald head. It's the supervisor come to fire my black ass.
We all ran into the latrine and turned out the light and stood in the dark, listening to one another breathe. We could hear that supervisor wander around the ward, calling for Mr. Turkle in a loud, half-afraid whisper. Her voice was soft and worried, rising at the end as she called,
Mr. Turkle? Mr. Turkle?
Where the hell is he? McMurphy whispered. Why don't he answer her?
Don't worry,
Scanlan said. She won't look in the can.
But why don't he answer? Maybe he got too high.